mighty name we have prayed. Lord, we come as that generation lost in the wilderness without a track to follow, without a star to look upon, without a pathway of navigation. We have decided to look inward, to look upon the star that is within us, just like you asked Abraham to leave his kindred and to go to a place that he had no address, and he looked upon the star within him, and he was able to find that place where his destiny will find the foundation required for expression. We are in transit. Ask, O God, that the illumination that comes from within will be so strong that none of us will miss our way. In the name of Jesus. It is your custom to set sons through spiritual pathways in search of their inheritance. Lord, we ask that the instrument of navigation will awake within every one of us. Discernment will awake within our hearts so that we'll have the wisdom to choose the right and the courage to perform it. We pray, O God, that from among us you raise leaders. Leaders that have been made wise by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. We're going to do a lecture. A lecture. Probably for 30 minutes. A lecture. And if we are done with the lecture, we will, if the Lord permits, we'll go into practicals. Because the kingdom of God is not in word. It's not in word. Alright? So you are welcome. Please welcome your neighbor to the lecture. Amen. Now, we'll start from the basics. It's obvious we cannot cover the scope of the lecture in one meeting, and so we'll continue the lecture subsequently until we can finish season one. When we finish season one, we'll look on other things and come back for season two, and as we progress it will become more technical. So but today's one will be very easy. Alright, now turn your Bible quickly to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Amen. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Okay, so since we have a big Bible on the screen, it will be difficult, it will be easy for us to navigate today. He said, but ye. Now I want to focus on verse 8, not because it's not customary to read a few verses before you alight upon your verse of interest, but we don't have time tonight, so we're going to be a bit liberal in our approach in this lecture. He said, but ye shall receive power. You are wrong. Is that my sound? Strike, let's see. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part. the earth. Amen. Now, according to this scripture, God intends, first and foremost, for every follower of His that has received His Spirit to turn out a personality of power. Alright? Now, it was power He had in mind that He released the deposit of His Spirit. But you see, that deposit of His Spirit all by itself is a potential. It's not power. But it's a potential for power. And as we'll come to discover during the course of the lecture, it's not just a potential for power. Power is one of the potentials that is in view upon the reception of this great facility that God has transmitted into us. Alright? The only problem with the arrangement is that you have to know how to deal properly with the initial investment in order for you to eventually turn out realizing the potential that is captured within the investment. Now, if, for instance, you don't know how to deal properly with the investment, you are not likely to realize the potential that God had in mind when He gave the investment in the first place. Now, there are two likely options that are possible given the fact that the form in which this investment is spirit. Hallelujah. Two issues that we need to look upon briefly. Alright? I'm trusting God that will be as simple as possible today. Because issues bordering on everyday life have to be captured within the context of this investment that God has given us. I know you must have read that scripture that says it is the spirit. The Bible says the spirit helped our infirmities. Are you with me? Now, that scripture presupposes that you are not complete in your mortal configuration. You are disadvantaged in your mortal configuration. And the way God helps the limitations that we have on the strength of our mortality is that He includes a spirit with you. Now, if God has gone as far as including a spirit with you, from the eyes of God, He has given you the potential to become everything He intends you to be. But the problem is the ability to deal properly with the investment that God has placed upon your life. Numerous assortments of religious dispositions resulted from the SU revival. Numerous doctrines, numerous teachings, numerous styles of worship. Alright? Until denominational doctrine became a factor in the church in Nigeria. And when those things become strong like that, it's because we do not know the spirit. So human beings have formulated doctrines that is suitable to their perspective and philosophy. You will never be accurate until you know the spirit. There are things that your pastor doesn't have authority to speak about in your life. It will be Jesus Himself that you have to encounter. Your pastor is not a replacement for Jesus. There are some things that is only Jesus that can tell you. And as long as you have not heard Jesus on the matter, you are wrong. There are some things that Bible study will not solve. You have to have an encounter and experience a renewal, and then the eyes of your understanding will have to be enlightened on the matter. Are you with me? Now, if we do not know how to deal properly with the investment that we received, it's not likely that we'll become the products that have realized the potential that God had in mind when He gave the investment in the first place. Two scriptures I'd like us to consider quickly. We need to probe those scriptures and query some aspects of those scriptures, and your life will be either a product of the first query or the second query. It's most likely. Now, give me Luke chapter 9. Let's start this journey. Luke chapter 9 from verse 51. Luke 9:51. Are you there? Okay. Now, 51. Luke 9:51. Stay with me. Okay? Stay. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Next verse. And sent messengers before his face, that and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Next verse. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Next verse. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? Now, you know, up until this time, Jesus was responding to them, speaking to them. He never had any need to turn and face them. But after that statement was uttered, Jesus was not only talking with words, he was also communicating with his face. So he had to turn on the strength of the question that was asked. Now, if you check Jesus' response, hallelujah. You are not with me. If you check his response, he said, and when his go to the next verse. Oh my. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Now, notice the Bible says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and many things are going to happen if you are able to realize that potential that is captured in the spirit that I give you. Now, these guys have come to that point where they have realized power. Alright? Now, in the use of that power, they actually requested that they should deploy that power to prosecute a mission. And Jesus turned and looked at them. He did not query power in this scripture. He queried spirit. You see, spirit, if you deal properly with it, you will arrive at power. Now, these guys had made the transition, but they were about to deploy that power in a way that misrepresents the nature of the spirit that is the foundation behind the power. And Jesus queried spirit. So we are going to query spirit, because the truth is, most of us do not know what spirit we are of. And there is no way you can be accurate if you don't know what spirit you are of. Now, every manifestation of God in any shape, in any form whatsoever, is supposed to give, it's supposed to be an amplification of the nature of God. It should run on that frequency, so that when you see okay, I'll give you an example. There is a young man. This young man started becoming prophetic when we were all growing in the Lord. Some of us were more concerned about scriptures. He was more concerned about visions and stuff. At some point in his life, he prophesied for money. You give him some money, then he checks for you. Now, the question is, are you with me? It may be that the utterances, the prophecies he's given are not even wrong in the first place. But that manifestation is not consistent with the nature of the spirit that he's of. So he's actually in error. He is actually applying that spirit, the potential that he got from that spirit, in a way that the spirit will not recommend. Now, so if you meet that fellow, what you think about God is that God empowers people to intimidate people. God empowers people to steal. And we have a lot of people that are operating under the anointing. The anointing is genuine, it's from God. But because such people do not know what spirit, the use of that anointing is not consistent with the nature of the spirit that is the foundation of that anointing. We are going to succeed as a generation. We must understand what spirit we are of. That's the first thing. So, we queried spirit in this set. Exactly. Okay, can we do Luke chapter 1 from verse 17? Luke 1:17. We'll query something else. Please, stay with me. Don't be in a hurry. I'll not be lecturing for too long. But stay with me. Tomorrow, we'll do a lot of lecture. Enter into a lot of things. But today we'll just start. And he shall go before him. I hope you know the context. You know the context, so I don't need to explain what is happening here. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. This is the prophecy that came about John the Baptist. A situation had come on ground. Let me tell you a little bit about a mantle. A mantle. When God releases an immortal material upon a man, that immortal material is supposed to shape the man. And the man, in keeping with reliance, total reliance upon the Holy Spirit, is expected to model a life under the influence of that mantle, so that the purpose of the mantle can be clear through his mannerisms, and the intention that God had in mind can be fulfilled on the account of that empowerment. Right? But it must be noted that if by reason of the human frailty that every one of us has in his management of that mantle, he makes a mistake. Eh? I don't want to say what I want to say, but if he makes a mistake in the use of that mantle, the people that will inherit it will be subject to the same kind of demons that made that first person make that mistake. Okay, now let me explain. Catherine Coleman downloaded a dimension from God. There was an immortal dimension that was given to Catherine Coleman. Can I mention names? I don't know how we'll do. You were did this section. Right? Okay. Now, she downloaded something from God. It was in the days of Catherine Coleman that people now began to realize that the presence of God is tangible. The Holy Spirit is a person that you can know. She made it so clear that the Holy Ghost, even though a spirit being, can be known. And it was obvious the way she ministered that this Holy Spirit was a very loving being. How? In dispatching her responsibility as a great prophet,
She did not do so well in marriage,
as you are all aware.
Mm-hmm. Everybody that inherited that mantle, the next person in line was Benihi. And then at some point, there was a struggle with, not because Benihi is a bad man. Okay, let me, you are not understanding me, so I will stop you. Benihi is a good, I love him. He's a wonderful man. But you see, a pattern was created by the way the first recipient of that mantle handled it. It had created a pattern and a fracture. And the demons of hell believe that there is a lot of likelihood along that fracture to make some gains in the life of the next inheritor of that dimension of God. So they will come and test that fault line. So Benihin had some, thank God for the intervention. Hallelujah. And there is a preacher in Nigeria, a Nigerian preacher, that it is obvious that inherited that mantle. Let me stop there. You are not with me. You are here. Okay, you heard one part of what I was saying. You didn't hear everything, and I don't want to explain everything. And then the same pattern begins to find expression. Immortal things are terrible things, especially if you are not aware of what spirit you are of. You are likely to create a fault line that generations after you will have to pay for. And so we need to go back to the basics, the foundation, the origin of these matters, so that we can bring an end to the infirmity that has fractured the church in Nigeria. But stay with me. Okay? Now check this scripture. The Bible says John will go before the Messiah in the spirit. And now you notice the first scripture we read. God gives spirit in view of the attainment of power. The description of the grace that John was supposed to function in was going to be occasioned by the very spirit that was upon Elijah. Is that clear? Now, how did Elijah end ministry? It was Jezebel that was responsible. Is Elijah's, is that true? The Bible says Elijah went on a journey of his own devising. That means that trip he took, he was not led by God. It was under the influence of witchcraft threat that he took that trip. Alright? And that journey was a journey outside of destiny, and he was not given an opportunity to make amends. And then John the Baptist came. And then a woman called Herodias now showed up. But okay, so that's what I'm saying. Now you must be well instructed when handling immortal things, because as we progress in the journey, we are going to show you some indicators that reveal your tribe, your ancestry in the spirit. And then you get to see the fault lines in these ancestries. And maybe you'll be able to explain why your life is the way it is. May the Lord grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. So let's leave that talk now. Let's go back to the scripture. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. That's the design. He was not just supposed to function in the spirit of Elijah. He was supposed to function in the power of Elijah. But unfortunately for John the Baptist, the Bible says John did no miracles. So in this case, we query power. Even though John received the spirit of Elijah, he could not maximize it. So the power element of that potential was never maximize in the life of John. So there were several dimensions of darkness that that power element was supposed to deal with. It never came on stream. John hindered his full potential from being realized. And so we have queried two things now. There is a possibility that you do not know what spirit ye are of. The investment you have received, you have worked on it, you have even come to a point where that investment is beginning to gain expression. But you intend to take advantage of that investment to prosecute a mission in such a way that is not consistent with the nature of the spirit that is at the foundation of that enablement. How? I pray you hear me well. That's why, you see, the prophetic has been really bastardized in this country. Of all the offices, I think the prophetic has suffered loss just because people have not been trained to use the instrument of God's investment accurately. So where will we start from now in this journey? Because Moses said, I wish that all the Lord's children were prophets and that he will put his spirit upon them. So what makes us a prophetic people is that initial condensed investment of God himself in our lives, if we know how to deal properly with that investment. Then a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a strong nation. Only God knows the capacity that you have in you, because it took only one prophet to bring Israel out of Egypt. I don't need to go too far, but I know most of you watch films a lot. There's one film that came out some time ago, The God's. You watch it? And there's one being in that film called Anubis. You see that being? That being is not a new being. That's how they call it in Egypt. The place where I'm from in this country, that's the spirit they worship. And the practice of witchcraft that gives you connection to that spirit is what we call necromancy. The ability to communicate with the dead. This is not a lecture for us to talk about witchcraft and how to master it in this region. No, this is not the lecture for that. But you see, in necromancy, they have the skill, the understanding of how to invoke the spirit of death. Alright? Have you ever read your Bible when he spoke about the shadow of death? A point when death begins to cast a shadow. He was actually making reference. If we want to teach about necromancy, that's the scripture that is the foundation of that lecture. The things Moses had to deal with were terrible things. He grew up in the same palace where Jannes and Jambres were consulting for Pharaoh, and they did not see him by any means in their wizardry. They did not identify that this boy running around will become a problem to them in the days to come. It was one prophet that God sent to discomfit a nation that was so fortified in darkness. Now, the Egyptians had a technology of embalmment. I hope you know medicine, medical science traces its origin to Egypt. Yes, Imhotep was the first doctor. It's just that Imhotep treated people spiritually, and so they could not document how the procedure was, and that's why they zoned the author of medical science to India. Are you with me? Now, so they had a technology of embalmment that preserved the corpse. Those were wisdoms that came through necromancy. Those guys had moved in the technology of witchcraft to a zenith height. before Moses came with his staff. One prophet. If one prophet could discomfit Egypt, that was what made him have that desire. I wish that all the Lord's children were prophets. If that were to happen, it means they had the capacity to take on the world. We will remain beggars under the slavery of the spirit of the bondwoman until we are taught how to use the investment that God gave us. We will be hiding in caves and threshing wheat until men gain mastery on how the infirmities of mortality are helped. Now, come with me. So, where will we start from? The scope is wide. What will we query first? Which query will we start from? And I don't know which one is your deficiency. Maybe you are already... I heard there's a young man here that prays for people. The power of God moves. And he came and said, why do I need a spiritual father? I heard so. I don't know if the young man is here, but I heard something like that. You know, that young man is making that statement because he doesn't know what spirit is of. And if he begins to operate and continues to operate in such a way that is not consistent with the nature of the spirit that is powering it, that spirit will stop powering it. Alright? And then another spirit that is actually in time with that mode of operation will take over. And you will not know the boundary of transition. The spirit realm is so blended with the natural that you cannot trace the boundary. So if you don't know what spirit you are of, you will end up without the Holy Ghost. I will show you how evil spirits talk in this Bible study. If a pastor makes that statement, he didn't draw it from the spirit that is of. There's a lot of controversy and death in the body of Christ just because we lack basic tutelage in the area of discerning the activity of the Spirit of God. Now, so if we don't know how to deal properly with this investment, we are unlikely to become the result that God had in mind when He gave it. Now, because of this, I need to show you two scriptures that will enlighten us about what spirit we are before we progress. Now, my intention for this lecture is to teach us how to deal properly with a spirit being. You have lived with your siblings, you don't know them. Now you want to gain mastery in knowing a spirit that has no bodily form. There is a way to master a relationship with such a personality. And what I speak to you about is not fallacy. If you know it, you can prove it. If you know the Holy Ghost, you can prove it in the market. Because the kingdom that it represents is not a kingdom of words. Empty words. Impotent words. It represents a kingdom that is not communicated by human words. That kingdom has its own way of advertising itself. Have you seen this scripture in the Bible before? If I by the finger of God cast out devils, then what? The kingdom of God is among men. So, in the realm of the spirit, the way, the purpose of power from the mortal realm is different from the purpose of power here. The purpose of power from the perspective of the mortal realm is that power is a means by which the mortal realm makes statements. Let me catch two scriptures and show you what I'm talking about. So Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, the statement that is made on the account of that activity of power is that another kingdom superior to the kingdom of this world just checked into town. So, alright, you might have reasons for which you need power, but in the immortal realm, the purpose of power is that that is the only way by which statements are made. Now, you know when the devil came to tempt Jesus, what did he say? He said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones and make them bread. That means he's saying, we heard you call yourself the Son of God. Well, I am the chieftain. That news has not come there. We have no regard for that thing you are saying. However, if by any means of, you know, you are the Son of God, let's start the process of you convincing me about this title you are carrying by turning stones to bread. Alright? I hope you know Jesus refused to do that. Because the kingdom had a better way to declare that reality to the underworld. Now, let me digress and show you something. Now, I just want to show you what power means. Jesus will come to town and do something. Say, a great prophet has the Lord been seen among us. God has visited his people. The Bible didn't tell us what Jesus did that was responsible for that response. Are you with me? But anything he did, this was the statement that was made. God has visited his people. Give me Romans chapter 1. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to go into Bible study. Strong one. Because we can get lost in it. Hallelujah. But because I need to explain to you the essence and the purpose of power from the mortal realm, I will have to consult one of the complicated scriptures in the Bible. Because this scripture most accurately renders the position of the Spirit concerning this matter. And the Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, so the book of Romans is a compendium of what we call the gospel of God. Now, in the conference where we would deal with doctrine and with balance, doctrine and with balance, we'll profile the whole Bible, break the Bible into spare parts, alright? And then we'll begin to couple it. Then you will now see what the gospel of God is. And that is the content of the book of Romans, alright? Now, so, and that was the gospel, the message that Paul was separated unto. So the authority in this particular context was Paul, because he was separated unto that gospel. Now, what is the content of this gospel? Next verse, which he had promised. This gospel that God committed to Paul to expound did not begin with him. People spoke about it. Prophetic utterances were given pertaining to that gospel. But Paul happened to be the apostle in the fullness of time that was given the grace to bring light to the body of Christ on issues pertaining to that matter. He had the signet and the authority to push that matter into a point in the body where what God was speaking generations past can be accurately articulated. Now, what is the subject of this gospel? Next verse, concerning his son. So this gospel is concerning his son. I don't have time to discuss about his son. But let's take it on a liberal note. His son is the definition of God. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his son. It means that what Elijah prophesied was deficient It was only sufficient for the time he prophesied. In the season of the last days, we will need an utterance that is better and stronger, more accurate, more precise than that which Elijah gave. So the speaking modality had to change because of the need of the end time church. In the end time church, the Bible says he speaks by his son. The next verse now begins to describe who his son was, who is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. That means God, that you could not see, that was hidden in the spirit realm, was giving context, perspective, and definition. In Jesus, the opinion of God could be seen. And that's why they came to consult him. Who sinned that this man was born blind? He expressed the ideology of God beyond concepts that were figments of human imagination. It was solid. It became solid. This is what God would do if he were man. He defined God. So the gospel of God has to do with this definition of God that was released unto man. If we do not study that definition of God, there is no way we can actually know God in all his expectations and dimensions. And that's why Paul was separated unto that gospel, so that mankind can understand what God would do if he were man. That's the mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. So the gospel of God is concerning Jesus Christ, his son, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's the family tree that he derived from. And the reason why he derived from that family tree was because David was the first king that ruled in Israel, that did not rule after his head, but ruled after God's heart. The style of rulership that David adopted actually accurately illustrated the kind of king that God was. It's on the strength of that that God decided to cut a covenant with David. Because you decided to represent me accurately, your government gave me a great name. I will bring the new and the greater David through your loins. I don't have time for that. To take you to the book of Psalm 79, 78, and show you some scriptures, because the conference is not for that subject. I'm just passing through the corridors, and we need to establish it accurately so that it will not look like we are suggesting. Okay? Now, so according to the flesh, he was of the root, the stock of David. But his immortal reality was declared. You see, whenever the immortal realm wants to define a matter, they want to speak about a matter, they concoct a volume of power. And that's how they talk. Are you with me? So Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, this is what the immortal realm is. That the kingdom of God has come among men. In order for Jesus' immortal reality to be declared, the Bible says he was declared to be Son of God with power. He took an act of power. And this act of power was sponsored by the Spirit of Holiness, or the Holy Spirit. In the act of the resurrection, when Jesus was raised from the dead. So the resurrection was a deliberate act of power that was sponsored by the Holy Spirit to declare Jesus as the Son of God. You know, when Satan came and said, we are not aware you are Son of God. He said, okay, you are not aware. Alright. Guess where Jesus was when the resurrection was to take place? Meanwhile, I need you to understand that Satan, the heavens were created on the earth. So, that means there were heavenly creatures that were existing when God was creating the earth. So they saw the kind of power God used. So the devil must have meticulously weighed, viewed that kind of power. Now if this all God has got, I think I can match him if I bring some minions together and the infantry of angels in my quadrant. I'll put up a good fight. Hallelujah. And he planned well and deployed, marshaled out his plan effectively. But in the resurrection of Jesus, there was a manifestation of power that exceeded what darkness planned for. The Greek word for it is akwedomai. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made an open show of them. You know, akwedomai is a military term that is used when a kingdom is conquered and the captain of war on the other side, the vanquished side, doesn't want more deaths. So he strips himself naked, takes his weapon, and gives it to the commanding officer of the victor's side and lies naked on the ground. Akwedomai. In order for the statement about Jesus' sonship to be made effectively, it was done by a declaration. What? Power! The mortal realm doesn't speak without power. What you need to know is when you see power move, you need to go back and ask, what are you saying? Are you with me? We like it. We like it, but we don't ask. What is a mod? This is a statement. Oh my. When Lazarus was invoked from the dead, it was a statement. Every time God moves in power, the mortal realm is making a statement to a generation. And that's why it is illegal for you to push an operation of power that is inconsistent with the spirit that you are of. It's for that many people die younger than the time ordained, because they want to change the goalpost in the midst of the game. That's why Jesus had no need to turn stones to bread. He said, this statement will be made better in another time. Let's wait. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did you get it? Now, so when the immortal realm manifests power, they are declaring things. He was declared to be Son of God, not in heaven, but in hell, where the devil had the key. He was moving there like a chieftain. Guess what? Before the resurrection was accomplished, he was stripped of the key of hell and death. Akwedomai. His weapon. I hope you have read the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. The power that Satan had is the power of death. They took the key of death from him. Took the key of what? Of hell from him. Because it was an akwedomai. And that was statement enough, because he was naked while they were doing that. If he forgets anything, he can't forget how he was naked. And it's on the strength of that darkness, the regret tomorrow, that if they had known, because it was an akwedomai. If we could reverse it, if we had known, we would have stayed far away from this crucifixion thing. By killing him, they actually set him free. And when they set him free, he was transformed to become the life-giving spirit. There are two becomings of Christ. And the word became flesh. His initial immortal status and identity was the word. Hallelujah. Because according to the principle of the Bible, if it's an angel that caused a problem, an angel will have to solve it. If it's a man that caused a problem, it will be a man that will solve it. If it's God that causes a problem, just like God was the one that locked the ark of Noah, it will be God that will come and open it. It was man that fell. It will be a man that is not a partaker of that fall that will come to quench the position that this man has created. God was the only one that had that qualification to stand as the representative of the human race. So he had to become man. So the Word became flesh. Huh? That's not all. That's incarnation. In resurrection, the Son of Man became the life-giving spirit. So there are two becomings of Christ. The current state and status of Christ right now is a life-giving spirit. So they thought that they killed him, but they facilitated him to become. That state that he has become, he can dwell in hearts now. So he can multiply the effect of that victory that he has captured. And that's why investment came in spirit form. Are you following the gist? Okay. You are with me today. Last time when I tried, you were not with me, so we stopped. Today you are with me. Hallelujah. That's how statements are made in the immortal realm. That's the need for power. So the fact that God gave you the Holy Ghost with a view that you will begin to function in the power realm is that God wants to use you to make statements, immortal statements, because your life in the spirit is a story that God is telling from heaven. Every time you walk in the spirit, the story switches on. If you walk in the flesh for 35 days, no story. Oh, then when you switch back again, maybe the devil struck you and you went on dry fasting and you cry. Then the story switches again. How I pray that your life will be an epistle that is alive. This, let me tell your neighbor, ye shall receive power. Now, I'm confused now because I don't know which direction we'll go. What we are going to query now? Are we going the way of Luke chapter 9 or Luke chapter 1? Okay, let's do. You do Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 9. No time. No time. Hallelujah. So let's look into what spirit we are of. What spirit we are of. As we begin to pierce this thing, you will see strange things. Strange. Life applicable. The least among us can implement it. The personality really that is great is not you. It's the one in you. If you can unlock him. Our destiny of greatness and our dominion mandate is tied to our capacity to unlock him. There is nothing special about me. Nothing. In my family, I am the worst among the scholars. I come from a family of scholars. I am the least among them. So, I am not a force to reckon with, at least. And we have a few people here that know my family. I'm not a force to reckon with in the host of scholars that form my family. It's nothing special. You know what? When I knew that I was no match, and it was confirmed, QED, you know what they call it? I went in search of something else. Yes. Sometimes if God wants to help you, he will destroy your defenses. The person you are expecting to help you, to your rich father, will be taken on time. So that when the son scourges you, you will know that there is no future. You will look for spirit help. Some of the problems you are passing through is not a God created us consciously with infirmities. So that when he presses you, the reaction that should result is that you will learn how to seek a spirit for help, because it is in that spirit that your infirmities can be helped. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayers and supplication. So things are supposed to move us to prayer. Yeah, so he created us with infirmities. In your default mode, you are limited and disadvantaged. Hallelujah. You are not with me. I know there are scholarly people here. Some people came out of school with first class, all kinds of stuff. You have been doing business for a long time. You have been successful in business and all of that. So there are so many things for you to lean on and say, man, I'm a great guy. If you are still there, you are a learner. It will take, if you come from my village, it will take an apprentice in necromancy to invoke a light spirit from the shadows of death to crumble everything you use your knowledge from Harvard and Oxford to build. Then you will understand how weak anything that has its roots in humanity is. Now let us not waste time on that which is not meat, which is not bread. Now so let's find out what spirit are ye of. I will just use one scripture, not two anymore. Sorry, my watch stopped working, so I don't know. We can continue this, and when it's 12 midnight and I still realize you are here, we may still continue, but I need a watch that works now. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, time has gone. All right. Okay, give me a few minutes just to tie it up, then we'll pray. Let's do 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Now, the reason for this scripture is that I want us to see what spirit ye are of. Are we there? For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, listen. Oh my. Now, listen. For any reason why you are afraid, God is saying, that spirit of fear that you have gone to contact, he didn't give you. So you went to search for it. You captured it. And you are embracing it. That's why you have lived in fear. Now, when we started to work for the government, there were a few ladies in my office. They had their ways with the top management. And when the organogram evolved, they were supervising us. So the one supervising me specifically, her name begins with a D, so we'll just call it D for now. If I say the name, maybe she's one of your relatives, we might have problems. So let's go with D for now. Okay, so this D lady, on Monday morning she'll just call. Those days we used to upload data in it's software that was not, it wasn't hosted online. All right, the thing is in our head office, so you need a lot of bandwidth to be able to access it to upload that. And the city where I was that time, really functionally there was no internet in that city functionally, but they had cyber cafes that if you click on go, it will be doing like this. They had so they had something like that. And you need a lot of signal strength to be able to upload the data. She will call on Monday and blast. And if you don't talk well, your case will go to GM and they will deal with you. So at some point I now discovered I was living in fear. So I had to go to God. I said, I'm being oppressed too. You know what he said? Who gave you the job? Then I remembered. The first time I saw an angel with my physical eyes, the angel told me to go back to Kano where I served, because I finished serving from Kano, came back home after service. Is that not what people normally do? And God said, you finish your service, but you have not finished my assignment. You go back to where you were. There's no next level for you. You know, these posters around, next level, new dimension, it's not true. You have not finished obeying what Baba says you do. Now you're asking for the next level. It's not true. There's no next level. Stay where you are and master the way of dealing properly with the Spirit. And God evicted me and said I should go back to Kano. And when I arrived at Kano, I saw my disciples, the people I used to teach scripture and we used to pray together. Teach 4 hours, we'll pray 4 hours. They bound themselves with a fast and said, God, if you don't bring that copper back, we will not stop fasting. I now knew why an angel came. I said, oh! When I saw them, I pitied myself. I said, I wanted to live a normal life. This guy is now came with this book. That angel did not only say I should go back to Kano. He said, you will not go into full-time ministry yet. I will give you a job. And you invest in many destinies. And a great network will be formed. The rest of it is with him. Hallelujah. Then I remembered. This job was God's, and I didn't apply for it. My name came for interview when I didn't apply. And you will not believe that. I know. I was on the field doing mission work when they called me that your name has appeared somewhere. When I showed up with my white suit, because those days I wanted to be like Benny Hinn. I have labored. My white suit. Jesus. So I put on that suit and I showed up in Abuja. I didn't know who was the Minister of Finance. I was in the bush casting out devils. In the interview, the only question I knew was the only one that they asked me. So I sat down and brought English for my soul. Enough. That was how I got. Meanwhile, when I came, I saw people reading. I said, oh. Then I asked one guy, what course did you read? He said, industrial chemistry. I said, yes, I read chemistry. I wanted to touch his book. Guess what? Me and that guy went for the interview at the same time. The question he failed was the only question I knew. He knew he had failed there. Then when I was sure he failed, I sat down well. And they asked me the same question. Oh my God, I got it. Are you still with me? Then I remembered it was an utterance from heaven. It was God that gave me. The next morning when she called me, I said, oh my, I'm going to send you all the data to your email. Upload it from Abuja. She has not called you today. Because just in case you are afraid, you went to borrow fear. He said, God has not given. He has not given you. The Spirit, in fact, God is wondering where you went to get the commodity. It's not the spirit of fear. It was after that experience. Anytime I am afraid, I know I'm under attack. It was the devil masquerading through my ignorance of the source of my blessing to suppress me. A man that is afraid is a slave. I fight, I hate fear with passion. We're not born of fear, I'm born by fear. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of what? Why is this power always coming? That's the objective. He wants to make a statement. A spirit of power. Meanwhile, the word translated power in Acts 1:8 and in this scripture is dunamis. Listen. Listen to me. Are you still with me? All right. If you go on Google Play and you find an application and you decide to download the application on your phone, Google doesn't determine when you want to use it anymore. You decide. Because it is inherent on your phone. That's what dunamis is. It's potential energy that is installed in your spirit like a software. You will decide when you use it. It's no longer up to God. It's up to you. That's why of all the gifts that the Spirit of God gives, there is one gift you can use at will. Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the means by which you convert that potential energy to kinetic energy. And because it is inherent, it is up to you to decide when you activate it, when you use the application. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't have time. I would have gone further. The English derivative of the word dunamis is dynamo. And dynamo is what you have on your generator that you need to pull upon it to maintain maximum oscillation. If you hit maximum oscillation, the oscillation can continue without external mechanical help. And so, when you begin to engage prayer, the first tongues you are speaking are mechanical. It's just like the rope of the dynamo. It needs external help to push it into operation. But when maximum oscillation has been achieved, it can continue without any help. It has the potential is drawn, and it begins to function on the fuel of the potential as it converts it to kinetic energy. That kinetic energy is what they call in Greek, ischus. Are you with me? So, he said, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of dunamis. A spirit of an inherent deposit of power that you decide when you operate. If you decide that, okay, I'm going to be praying for 3 hours every day. At first, it will be hard because you are trying to hit maximum oscillation. When you are consistent, then your entire spirit component will adjust to accommodate that volume of spiritual capacity. If you want to go for 9 hours, because I personally, I hope you know, prayer is not something you do naturally. You need supernatural support in order for you to prosecute prayer. The first time I prayed for 18 hours, I was planning to pray for 2 hours, but the thing hit maximum oscillation, and I said, "Oh boy, let's go." I moved it, and I prayed almost the whole day. The next time I wanted to try, it was easier than the first time. Is the system is adjusting to accommodate the activity you are prescribing. So at the end of the day, if you end up a narrow man, it's because your attempts at exploring the potentials were narrow. If you end up a man of stature and weight, you had a bogus appetite to exploit the potential. Anyhow you come, it can adjust to accommodate you, because it is a spirit of dunamis. I don't have time to work it out so that you will see it clearly. Our generation is given to frivolity, religion, and darkness. Religion results when we no longer know the spirit. And that's where human beings will begin to prescribe things for Christians. We are sons of the prophets, and we function by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. There is a whole educational system in the layout of the spirit realm that every student of God is supposed to be subject to. When you pass through that educational system, you will no longer be subject to the manipulation of every wind of doctrine. You have a root that is trusted into the earth, and your convictions would not be moved. It's because we have not had that experience. Hallelujah. If a doctrine begins to rise in the body of Christ, the first thing I do is that I go to Jesus. I say, "Are you the one preaching?" He said, "I didn't send them." You didn't send them. Me, I will stop them. You will have my blessings if you do so. This is me and Jesus talking. I know the source. I can trace it to. If it's not from there, I can probe it. I can query it and find. If all of us can query things that are circulating in the body of Christ, fake preachers, we go back to business. There are a lot of businessmen that are in church that have nothing to do with church. Bringing 10 business proposals out of John 3:16 is not part of the pastor's work. May the Lord give you understanding. And that's why we need to clearly define some things as God gives us grace. Hallelujah. Now, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of dunamis and of love. Now, I need to say on a passing note that love is not emotion. Love is covenant. And yes, he said, if you love me, do what? Did he say cry? Keep my command. Then when you now set your heart to keep his commandment, that's when you now discover that you have to keep his commandment whether you feel like, whether you like it, whether it goes beyond how you feel. It is agape, that love that is covenant. Just like when you take a lady to the altar, two of you are imperfect people. Hallelujah. You are going to disagree at some point, and all of that is going to happen. But beyond the disagreement, there is a covenant. I can see beyond it. The fact that we disagreed yesterday doesn't mean that if you come tomorrow and you prophesy and it is God that speaks through you, I will accept it. Meanwhile, we are still fighting. But I could discern Christ in that utterance. Because there is something beyond our fight that is at stake. And if I'm going to be an accurate father, an accurate husband, unto me is given the priesthood of that home. That's in the accurate context. So if the Spirit of Christ speaks through you, even though we quarreled yesterday, I should be able to discern it and yield to it. And that's why before the Bible says, woman, submit to your husband, the verse before that one says, submitting unto yourself, one unto another. So if it is me, if it's the wife that picks accurately, and the husband discerns it to be God speaking through her, even though they fought yesterday, he should submit. Not as unto the wife, but as unto what? That is covenant. It goes beyond your fight. You can continue your fight later. But on this matter, I discern God and I obey him. If when your wife sees that you respect the authority of God much more than how you feel, your troubles will begin to go. It means you are a man of covenant. You are not a man of emotion. I left emotion long time ago. It's a fluctuating pendulum. Meanwhile, the counsel of God is like a day northern star. It never moves. If you love me, do what? Now, if I see you and you fluctuate, you are not a man of conviction. You say this today, you change your mind tomorrow. You don't know the way of this love. This love does not change. This love will say, I love you. And the person begins to... If this love can separate between actions and the will of God. Momentary actions can overlook it. It will stick with the will of God. This is a masculine kind of love. It's not a love of feeling and a love of fluctuations. It's a love that is strong, that bonds with witness. It's a sign that you have met the Colossus, him that is called the rock that changeth not. The fourth definition. Can you go back to my scripture? Now, King James did not render this. This is the only verse of scripture that King James did not render properly. And of a sound mind. King James didn't do a good job there. Help us with some translations quickly. And I don't want to quote Greek. Let it not look like scholar. No. What we are talking about is not of the mind. Eh? It's about life. It makes life, not makes. It may not make sense, but it will make life. Now, this is close, but this is not it. Good. This is it. It's self-control. God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but the spirit of love, spirit of power, and of self-control. And do you get it? Now, so when Jesus queried spirit in Luke chapter 9, he was actually, it was on the strength, on the basis of self-control and love, that they could not look through beyond momentary faults and sustain the perspective of the will of God. Eh? That's one. And they were so full of power, and they did not have self-control to manage it. They were looking for opportunities to strike. So this was the foundation behind the rebuke that Jesus gave them when he said, "Ye know not what spirit ye have." Now, so you go and do the power dimension. There that power that was lacking in the life of John the Baptist, such that even though he was given, his ministry required for him to prosecute his ministry effectively, he required to function in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. But this man decided only to function in the spirit of Elijah. It was obvious. The spirit of Elijah was so strong upon him, such that even though they never discussed, him and Elijah, their dress code was similar. So we discover that Elijah's dress code was a function of inspiration. It was not trendy. Okay, let me shut it down. Yeah, I'm in Lagos, so let me preach to Lagosians, the sharp guys. Listen, some of us started preaching the gospel in the woods, not with collar, not with mic. It took me 2 years to learn how to hold the mic here. But we casted out devils without microphone. Huh? Can I speak? No, we are in Lagos. We are in Lagos. Let's allow Lagos people. Hallelujah. Eh? The guy's dress code was a function of the inspiration he got from his spirit. So when John the Baptist started dressing like that, we now the spirit of Elijah. The thing renovated the entire man. If God wants to help you, if God wants to make you, he gives you a spirit. That spirit will inform your ideology, your conviction, your style, your approach, your scale of measurement, your vista, your eye view. Oh my. We saw the raw grace that was upon Elijah come upon a younger man. And when you hear his utterance, it can sting the heart, such that even the king, the Bible said the king wanted to hear him gladly. After sitting with politicians from different provinces and they lie, manipulate, he is confused. He wants a voice that is like a plumb line. That's when he goes to hear John. He heard him gladly. So there was nothing wrong. John actually manifested full scale the spirit of Elijah. But John did not prosecute the dimension of his ministry that had to do with representing God in the power of Elijah. That's a deficiency. And that's where our generation is going. We are trying to evolve a Christianity that is of Lagos, of the metropolitan center, where we change prayer meeting to strategy session. So you come for strategy sessions with your iPad to plot graph. Then we group people, businessmen, legal luminaries. And you are there. You are a statistic. You are a statistic. May the Lord give you understanding. In that mode, there's no way you can realize the power that is supposed to be exhibited from your life, for which God has given you the investment of spirit.
You'll get to that point. Now, so you go investigate the other side. I finished my own investigation on what spirit ye are of. Now, when we go deeper into prophetic practice, if we go into prophetic practice, we are going to profile prophetic practice. We find out that 80% of people that claim prophetic are not accurate. Just stay with me. In this country, in Ghana, it's 90. No, don't laugh. Just stay. When we start, you will see technical errors. Do you know? Hallelujah. If I have a wrong interpretation of the Bible, alright, let's say money answers all things, and I refuse to read the context in which that scripture is found, because that scripture is only true within that context. Truth cannot be found in a vacuum. Are we okay? We are at home. You can't find truth in a vacuum. It is in a context. You can't find fish just like that. Fish just suspended is in a habitat. The statement was made within an array of statements within the course of an ideology. If you take it out of that ideology, it can't stand alone. Right? Now, so we say money answers all things, and we take it out of its base, out of its context, and we make it a universal statement, dissociated from its context. I hope you know I'm lying. That emphasis I'm making is a lie. I hope you know that I cannot do that successfully if a lying spirit is not padding me. It is padded. Okay, you don't know a lying spirit. Let's leave it. Are you aware that the increase of that statement that is facilitated by a lying spirit will give another spirit the opportunity to begin to minister to people that received that message that came from a lying protocol? Yes. So if we are having technical errors, mark you, we are going to have spiritual errors very soon. And I will show you technical errors. Like, one of the technical errors that I want you to see, at least for today, is that it is possible for somebody to use God's power to accomplish something that is inconsistent with God's nature. Meanwhile, the power is valid. It's from God. But what, the way it is used is not God approved. If you stay under that climate, I will show you the consequences. By the time we profile it, no, some of you will stone me, so we'll leave it. Because you believe in some people so much, you don't believe in your Bible. You don't study the Word of God. You don't study the Word of God. We are at the verge of apostasy. And the Bible says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise a standard against the... Did you take out time to ask what that standard was? Is the rise of the prophetic that is a standard that the Spirit of God raises in every generation against the rise of deception? So we need to raise the standard. And that's what we're doing. You will not only learn relate with the Holy Ghost accurately, because if you are not accurate, your discernment is limited. It's just like naira notes. Alright, if you put a fake naira note in a bundle of good naira notes, and those guys in the bank that know how to count money, the texture of the fake one is different. They'll be able... you worked in a bank for some time. How many of you work in the bank? Bank people. Yes, you do. Let's see it again. Bank people. They are used to counting money. When you touch the texture of wrong money, you will know. So if we don't know how the real one feels, you will not know how
the fake one feels. The reason why we can detect fake is because we are dwelling in the real. Discernment will become effective when every one of us knows how to access God. A fake pastor will stop ministry. So when we flood the entire system with truth and accuracy, it will become difficult for the gates of hell to prevail. That's why the standard must be raised, and that's the reason for the prophetic. We must make a conscious initiative for people to know how to walk with the Spirit and how to walk in the Spirit. You know, it is one thing to pray in the Spirit. It's another thing to pray with your Spirit. Huh? Okay. I'm sorry. Let's leave that. I'm sorry. If that is strange to us, then I'm sorry. All right. Let's start. I give you one point that we'll begin to pray. Because what I've been trying to do is to bring us to the point where we can study how to deal properly with a spirit being and become acquainted with the spirit being. First thing, number one. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 28. In recent times, this has become my best scripture. Please, technical people, help me with that scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Go back to King James. I was trained with King James. I just consulted Amplified for this purpose, for that purpose only. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, how many infirmities can you see here? There's infirmity of utterance. Some spiritual things cannot be uttered. Do you understand? They are not utterable. Those spiritual things are not words, so you can't utter them. Second infirmity, you do not know enough. In spiritual activity, there is superlative knowledge that you need to function with, because you must understand that the devil has the advantage of experience. Don't think that with this your small mind and the engineering you read in University of Lagos, any match to that prince called the devil. You will need wisdom from an ancient source that drives farther into the eternal past, that drives farther into the counsel of God. Such wisdom that Satan does not know. It is when you function on that level, in that plane, that you can be ahead of him at all times. And so there is this infirmity of insufficient knowledge. We know not. Thirdly, just in case a bird, a dove is sent from heaven with a letter in the mouth and it delivers to you, this is what you should pray about to, based on what was discussed in heaven. Just in case the issue of knowledge was solved and peradventure the bird gave you a letter and you read it and you knew exactly what you are supposed to focus on at that time. The Bible says we don't even know how much of prayer, the volume of prayer you should deploy to prosecute that which you even know. Now, so based on all these obvious infirmities, how can you prosecute a situation that is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit? Your inabilities are vast. The first thing that you need to know, if you are going to have a relationship with the Spirit of God, is to acknowledge your inadequacy. And I need to tell you today that your inadequacies are vast and far-reaching. If it has not come to, as I'm telling you now, it's not the answer. If it has not come to you as a revelation that you are inadequate, Not that you heard it from a preacher. No. Beyond what the preacher said, it has come to you as a revelation that I am inadequate. That is the posture of heart that is required to engage the realm. Are you still with me? So the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities. The Bible says we are the circumcision that worship the Father in spirit. Are you with me? We are the circumcision. That means we were subjected to a form of circumcision that made us to totally and exclusively decide to take spirit approach. The reason why our default mode is spirit word is because we have no confidence in the flesh. Now, so someone that has confidence in the flesh has not been circumcised in this sense of which we are the circumcision. He will still lean on the flesh again and again. When he's under pressure, his first response will be a fleshly response because he has not been circumcised in the foreskin of his reality in order for him to be Godward, spiritward. We worship the Father in spirit. Our activities are spiritual. That's where our alignment is spiritual. And we have assumed this spiritual mode of alignment because we have no confidence in the flesh. It has come to us as a revelation that the possibilities of the flesh have already been judged. And the flesh profits nothing. So, I have seen again and again that is futility to have confidence in that which has been judged to be futile. And so, we are that circumcision. We are that generation that have decided to be spirit world. The definition of our reality will derive from our spirit world inclination. If you bring a problem to me, and I look at it and God is not springing up to give me insight, I say, hold it. There's no need for me to try to dramatize that I have answers to problems when there's no help from the Holy Ghost. If you are still dramatizing, it means you still have confidence in the flesh that you can draw one or two things. But when you find the circumcision have been dealt with such that it has come to them as a revelation that the flesh profits nothing. So they are not about to spend another day exploring the possibilities available in the flesh. Their default mode and alignment mode is deliberately spirit word because they know the infirmities that the flesh and the baggages that the flesh carries. That's the first thing. If it has not come to you as a revelation, you will try in the flesh again. You will search in the flesh again. And sometimes it's because of this that you cannot remove suffering from the Christian life. Suffering is a very wonderful additive. It's a catalyst. We can't do without it. Meanwhile, that's how the great monarch authored salvation. He authored it with suffering. So he sentenced all of us to suffering. For a good purpose, actually. It's when you suffer that you actually remember God. But we are trusting that if you become the circumcision, even though you are no longer suffering, the lessons have been learned. And they have written upon your heart. So you have already judged the flesh. And you have actually weighed it in the balances. And you have found that it profits nothing. So you don't need further suffering for you to maintain a mood that is spirit world. That's what I'm saying. Are we together? Hallelujah. So for this cause, suffering comes to the rescue once in a while. It comes to the rescue. Because the way it is designed is that suffering was designed to be that bait that will push to explore Christ. Astronauts explore space. We are called to explore God through Christ. Suffering, confusion, oppression, all those things have their places. And the intention is to push you to explore Christ through the Spirit. And so the instruction that was given is that
Let things not generate anxiety. Are you with me? Be anxious for. So when those pressures come, he is recommending to us that your approach and the way to which you relate with the pressure should not be anxiety. That would be a negative approach to the pressure. Yes, because the anxiety will open the door to worry. Worry will open the door to depression. Depression will open the door to poverty. And at the end of the day, the thing that anxiety used as the bait to begin to plunder your life is not that thing that will kill you. It's the anxiety itself that will kill you. Because anxiety is a proof of demonic attack. So he said, let the pressures not push you into anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. And that is a commandment. But in everything, through prayers. You see, the man knows already that the infirmities are many. So in everything, what? Through prayers and supplication. Coupled with what? Thanksgiving. Make your request known unto God. Notice that the feedback that came from heaven, that was a result of his prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, was not that God came to solve the problem of. Oh, have you not read the scripture that says, in all these things, we are more. The things didn't go. The first thing that God did is not to take the things away. He will. In the thing, in it. The problem is still there. But when the peace of God that passes all understanding, something from the spirit is released into your vessel, suddenly that thing no longer has the authority to manipulate you the way it intended to do, because something, a spirit has released an additive into the equation. So you can survive the thing. The thing doesn't change, but you have changed by the spirit, and that thing is no longer a match. You can survive it. When you hear the scripture say that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, that the righteous run therein and find safety, you think that we are people that run from trouble. It has not ended. When you run into the name, he will supply something from above and push you back into the situation from whence you ran. Until your life satisfies the scripture that says, in all this in it, then very soon you will now discover that the things for which you have been afraid were all the while afraid of you. It means the lion is beginning to somehow rise. You are beginning to understand the story of life, that God doesn't necessarily need to change the circumstance. All that needs to change is you. And if you change, the vista changes, the possibility changes, the resource changes. Jesus said, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. In fact, Jesus revealed that Satan had an intention, and also revealed how Satan intended to accomplish his intention, to sift you like. There are many ways to have you, but the way Satan will come is to sift you like wheat. Jesus was the best. He said, but I pray for you. Now, let me tell you the equation now. This is an equation. Satan wants to have you. He wants to sift you like wheat. There's an occasion he will quack you. And because your leg is still dangling, you are likely to find yourself in a mode that you don't like. But that situation is orchestrated from the spirit realm. You can't use strong will to combat it. You can't combat it with strong will. But I prayed. I added an investment that is spiritual. So, because of the spiritual additive, the result Satan was expecting to have from sifting will not come to pass. And when thou art converted, so the window of conversion has opened, which you will obviously enter. But I don't know when anyway. I don't know whether it will be on Friday, whether you linger in darkness for 2 days or 5 days. But when you are converted, do what? Strengthen. You would have gained experience on how the devil works.
And you know that all his workings are tricks. It's only when a spirit is involved that you can contend with a spirit. The Bible says, greater is he that is where? In us.
So that scripture acknowledges that the devil is great. But great. I don't have time to lobby one scripture. The flesh profits nothing. A principal officer from our office came to visit our region, and I settled him into the hotel room and was about to leave. He said, "What? Were you not briefed?" I said, "Briefed? About what? That I don't sleep alone." I said, "I'm aware of that. That's why I'm going to bring a big Bible." "You need a Bible." The man felt insulted. And he said, "I will never be promoted in this office." You know what? The flesh profits nothing. So after that threat, there is nothing you can do in the flesh that can help anything. So where do you go? It's prayer and supplication. Every challenge of life was supposed to push you to explore the patterns of prayer and supplication. That's why God ensured that we were created with infirmities. Because the only way we can be complete is in the Spirit. We are complete in Him, which is the head over principality and power. So I went and began to storm the gate of heaven with prayers. And I reminded God that it was His idea to give me this job. I wanted to go into full-time ministry at the age of 24. He said, "You will not go yet. I'll give you a job. I'll raise you to become a full-blown apostle." Hallelujah. And according to God, before that day will come, it's still remaining 3 years. I'm not a full-blown apostle yet. According to Him. Yes. He told me the age that I'm going to be a full-blown apostle. I will raise you to become a full-blown apostle. A network, a great network will be formed. Then, I didn't know what a network was. You don't need to know too much in this small brain. Know many, many more things by the Spirit. Meanwhile, spirituality is not a friend of mental sloth. Don't think that's what I'm saying. I began to press. I left home for 48 hours and went into the bush. A man threatened me. Meanwhile, the contract that I'm doing now is between me and you. One man has come to talk. After 24 hours in the bush with mosquitoes, the great one said, "Go. Go in peace." 1 week later, the chief executive came to visit my district. I went to receive him at the toll gate. Came to the office, asked some questions and answered. Took him to the event that he came for, which is to be coronated as a doctor, an honorary doctorate degree. We went for the event and everything went well. Then he told me, "Okay, take care of this. I'm going back to Abuja. And this guest, make sure you treat him well. He's an angry man." He didn't know that that guest is a friend of my father. The angry guest. He was afraid because that guest had a lot of influence with our back. So if he doesn't treat him well, he didn't know that we are neighbors in the village. So when I came, I introduced myself to him. He said, "Ooh." He said, "Kai, that your hotel? I can't imagine. I will go to government house. I say, okay. What of the people you came with? He said, okay. And left. So the chief executive now fell. This is a good boy. Let's help this boy. Bring his file. Guess who brought it? The man that said, he said, what? You guys have not promoted this guy for 5 years? Go and promote him now and backdate it for 4 years. Whose signature was on the letter? Then the next year again, he said, that my boy, he's still due for promotion now. Write another one. Sign again. The man's signature is on 2 of my promotion letters. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. The kingdom of God is not in word. There's something that can make a man that will say, I will kill you tomorrow. The one that is shaving your hair and say, do. It's power that does that. That's power. He was forced against his will. Where did he face when he was signing it? Was it like this he faced? Or he faced like this? And you know what? When he finished signing my 2 promotion letters, his job ended. Maybe he would have lasted longer if he did not fight me. We don't fight in the flesh. No. When you threaten us in Obalende, we go back to our company. Yes. The Bible says after they left the Sanhedrin, they went back to what? Their own company. And they invoked a royal decree. Is it not you that said, why do they hide in rage? And the people imagine eventing the kings of the earth and the rulers set themselves together against the Lord and his anointed one, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their curse from the midst of us. But he that sitteth in the heavens shall the will of a human being, the will of a witch, does not control anything if you don't allow him. You need power. The way I rise in the office is not by psychophancy. I don't go to pay courtesy calls. I will remain in the wilderness where you posted me. And by power, I pass through the defenses that and the protocols. I rise by power. Forget about those things they do in the office. It's on Christian, it's on God. Turn ye unto your stronghold, my friends. Have you gotten the first point? Second point. Time for second point. Let me. No time. Sorry. Let's rise and pray. I went on a 48-hour honeymoon with God. I came back with 4 sheets of paper. And in these 4 sheets, we have just done the introduction. Well, the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Listen. This is not the day of a big man of God. These are the days of the saints. Days of the saints. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, you can become as strong as David. Now, in every conference, we are going to be making commitments to the Holy Spirit. And for tonight, tell him is, we know that you are the one that can complete us. Self, by ourselves, we are limited, advantaged. Complete us. Come and complete us. Prayer right now. You know what ye should as ye ought. But he with himself.
I need to tell us a few things. Our generation is far behind schedule. Now, if this is not good, I can make do with a cord mic. Our generation is far behind schedule. We have observed lines for too long. It's time for us to know God. Can we pray the kind of prayer that Paul prayed, that I may know you? Now, listen. I'm seeing someone here. Amen. I'm seeing someone here. And from what I see, this person has been having some encounters with God, and they're coming in form of dreams, a string of dreams. But unfortunately for this person, the person remembers the dreams but does not understand them. Where are you? Come. About is a lady, not a guy. A lady. We have used up all the time. Okay, let's come and pray for them. Ah, I'm seeing this night, Jesus.
You see the reason why I wanted to raise that prayer point? We need to. And right now I'm seeing the angel of the Lord has come from the heavens, and there is one of you that he has put his hand upon because he wants to enlighten. Yeah, it's coming strong on you now. It's coming strong. It's coming strong. I see that. It's coming stronger. And the reason why it's stronger is because he's trying to increase your capacity. It's coming stronger. It's like a wind. Like a wind. One of you here. Okay, it's you. Now, so we didn't have time for practicals this night. Give them understanding. The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom. Okay, you were. The spirit of wisdom. Where's Pastor Austin? Pastor Austin, you can come and take over. God bless. You may be seated.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody shout. Is it the burden of the message you just this? I want to let you
can I use any of this one?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. I know that I sense in my spirit that a couple of people will need ministrations, and we're going to take that seriously tomorrow. Praise the Lord. We are looking at very delicate matters, and I trust the Lord that tomorrow we'll be able to do a lot, because you know this kind of topics or this kind of theme that we are looking at tonight or in this particular conference, which is the School of the Prophet, has to do with a lot of practicals. Praise the Lord. But I think that one of the best practical we all need is that our spiritual senses be activated. Amen. Now, Apostle was saying some things today, and he talked about the spirit that is involved and all of that. Tomorrow we'll be able to break some of these things and we'll bring them in context. Is that okay? I will talk to you tomorrow about the oracles of God. Tell your neighbor you are an oracle. So we will look at that tomorrow. How that you, as a mortal man, you are supposed to be an oracle upon the